I'll be reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples.
Are you looking forward to Thursday? I am. It's probably, of all the holidays, one of my favorites. Time with family and friends, consuming a lot of food. But you know what? When you're done eating that meal on Thursday, it's not going to be all gone. We can look forward to the leftovers, at least for a couple of days. And after that, we're going to try not to look into the refrigerator because there's probably still leftovers. To tell you the truth, I'm not a huge fan of leftovers. Yeah, there's some things that I enjoy the second time around, sometimes the third time around. Vicky's lasagna or Vicky and Katie's chicken enchiladas. I could eat that probably for a week straight. But you know, soon after those times, I've had my fill. But there are things left over from Thanksgiving that I do enjoy as leftovers. And sometimes more than the first time around. But there are a lot of people who have very little food, and probably for some, they survive on one very basic meal a day. This is the time of the year when you hear the commercials on TV about feed the children and the hunger around the world and these children who are malnourished, while most of us have leftovers from Thanksgiving. And sometimes we might even feel a little bit guilty about the amount of food that we will consume over the next few days, especially when we think about those who have so little. But for today, let's spend some time thanking God for our leftovers that we will enjoy this week and not guilt-tripping for having so much to begin with. I'd like for us this morning to look at an account that is famous for Bible class children and adults alike. The account, the setting of this account is one in which we find Jesus emotionally hurting. We find that in Matthew's account of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had received news of the killing of John the Baptist. And he was emotionally at this time hurting. He had also been spending a lot of time with lots of people healing and teaching. And Jesus, he wanted just a little bit alone time with his chosen disciples. For those of you who spend your workday with lots of people, you probably look forward to going home and spending some time with just a very few people that you love to be around. You can relate to Jesus of why he may want to just get away for just a little bit. But in Jesus' case, the crowds would not leave him or the disciples alone. But the Gospels help us to see that Jesus saw the people and that he had compassion on them. Their needs were more important to Jesus than his own needs. Jesus, who knows all things and know what is going to happen, the Bible tells us, and he wants to test the heart of his disciples. So here in John chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus asked Philip, where are we to buy bread so that those people may eat? I can imagine myself being Philip, and I'm looking around at 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And I'm probably looking in my pockets for some money, trying to figure out something. Matthew 14 and verse 15, it tells us that the disciples were in agreement on the reality of the situation. Because they said to Jesus, "There, send the crowds away. It is too much for us to meet their needs." I'd like us to sit with this for just a moment, the reality issue at hand here. And Jesus, it appears, does not understand reality as well as his disciples. For the answer that Philip gave was a truthful answer. And the answer he gave was a monetary issue. The cost of 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for them to have just a little bit each. And I think Philip makes a very clear point. Jesus, you don't get it. It's nice that you like people, and you're a great healer and a teacher. But when it comes to food, you are asking for too much. You know, the most annoying person in the world is an optimist. When a realist is trying to explain the complexity of a problem. When you think about the problems of life, how do you see the solutions? Are they like, for many of us, based upon reality, the only understanding that makes any sense? You know, most every day is exactly the same as far as the sun rises and sets and gravity exists and food costs money. We hear of people talking about miracles every day, but we do not see biblical-style miracles happening. I think we can put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples and their way of thinking. Yes, they had seen and experienced things that we have not. But they do live, and did live, in the same world just like we live today. And food costs money. I have no idea how much money we'll be spending on our Thanksgiving meal. But I surely can't imagine what the cost would be to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children. So maybe in Philip's mind, 200 denarii might have been just enough to give everybody a taste of something. But we know what Jesus did. He took the blessing of a boy and 5 loaves and 2 fish and used them to feed thousands. And for many of us, that is where we focus our attention on, the miracle that was performed. And that is the same attention that we share with our children with this account. But the point of this whole lesson and the point of this whole miracle is found in verse 12, John chapter 6. When they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." Was Jesus concerned about the leftovers? Why did Jesus tell his disciples to do this? And what do 12 baskets mean? I don't want us to get hung up on this. We can come to any conclusion that we want. But this much I will say. It proves that Jesus did more than provide just a little bit for each person, just as Philip thought would have been done. Jesus gives us so much more than we either deserve or we need. The leftovers are the proof of His love. The account started with Jesus having compassion on the people, and it ends with leftovers having value. You know, sometimes after a meal, our leftovers is like having a penny in our pocket. We don't think it's very important. To some people, leftovers are worthless, while to others, it's very important. These fragments are part of God's grace. For the disciples, these 5,000 plus were an inconvenience, especially with what they were planning to do, to rest, recuperate. But to Jesus, the 5,000 were more than leftovers to be discarded. They were the purpose that Jesus came to this earth for. Maybe these leftovers in these 12 baskets was Jesus' way of helping the disciples to see the value in what is being offered. Not food for the stomach, but food for the soul. Later on in Scripture, Jesus would call Himself the bread of life. When we look at our lives, do we realize that we are far more blessed than we deserve? In reality, our cup runs over. It reminds me of an old poem. The poem, and I can't remember, it was so long ago that this poem was read to me or I heard it. But it's called Drinking from the Saucer. I can't remember who wrote the poem, but it goes like this. I never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now. But it really doesn't matter because I am happy now. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going is tough. But with kin and friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I thank God for all the blessings that His mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. He gives me strength and courage when the ways grow steep and rough. I'll not ask for another blessing because I'm already blessed enough. May we never be too busy to bear another's load. Then we'll all be drinking from the saucer, for our cups have overflowed. What do we do with our leftovers? I guess it depends on what value we place on them. Yet, we're all here this morning because of these many fragments, these many small fragments of grace. Reminds me of the song that Joel sang leading up to this, Count Your Many Blessings. Do you know what our duty is? Our duty is to keep these small fragments in our basket. We often complain, wondering why God seems to give more blessings to others than He gives to ourselves. The reason we complain is because we do not pick up all of the small fragments of God's grace. If we gathered up all these fragments and we put them in our baskets, we will recognize the abundance of grace in those baskets. God's grace, the greatest thing ever done since the creation, was His Son. The greatest thing since creation. God's grace has been shed on each one of us. It has. We just need to open our eyes to see it. We have a warm place to live. We have food for our physical needs. We have the clothes on our backs. We're able to give for the work of the church, because we have been blessed. But you know, so what if I have to go eat leftovers on Friday because I don't have enough money to go to McDonald's? I'm blessed. You're blessed. And 2 or 3 days after Thanksgiving, when you open up the refrigerator and you still see some turkey or ham or dressing or potatoes or whatever you have, or cornbread or whatever, think about the baskets that it has filled. Yours. If you're not a child of God, don't lose out on the grace that has been offered. Through Jesus Christ, you can start filling your baskets with God's grace. The love that He has for each and every one on the face of this earth. Many do not recognize or realize or don't even care. But for the hope of eternal life, there's only one way to it. And that is obeying the gospel. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can be added, as Vernon said in his prayers, added to the Lord's church. And you will have that hope of eternal life. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you just don't realize or haven't realized until this day just how many baskets of leftovers you have. Don't let them go to waste. And don't ever stop thinking about them. When you start thinking about what everybody else has, go back and look in your baskets of blessings and remember those things. But you know, maybe you need our prayers this morning. Maybe you need to make things right with God in a public way. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.